The North Carolina Department of Transportation is hosting a meeting 4 to 7 p.m. August 12th at Faulkner Elementary School, 3931 Naco Road, Greensboro, on its plan to improve passenger and freight rail operations along the Piedmont Corridor. Visit ncdot.gov.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Let's have it.
So your question was how AI is training other AI, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, in essence, AI is just an amalgamation in general of all of man's knowledge that's on the open internet. So if you go to like a ChatGPT or an OpenAI site or anything like that and you ask it a question, basically what it's doing is taking all the information that we as a society have given the internet over, you know, the past 40 years or so. So when you guys say, hey, you know, ChatGPT, what's the best spark plugs I can get for a 2005 Buick Century? All it's going to do is it's going to try and quickly scan as much prevalent information on the internet as it can and give me a response. So when we have something like a Grok now that is just being trained off another computer, they say, all it's really doing is updating that system faster based on another computer. So if Grok is computer one, and the thing training it is computer 2, that just means computer 2 is trained or is programmed to update computer 1 faster. So if, you know, I ask ChatGPT today, hey, I bought a 2026 Mustang GT, I need to know, you know, the recalls for it. And if those recalls that are out currently haven't been updated in that system, it's going to say, oh, there are none. But if I have another computer that's actively updating the first computer, you know, hourly or daily or whatever it be, it's going to have that information quicker.
All right, so if you take a look at that, then if the original knowledge that was programmed into that is false, like, for example, here you have, you can go to some of this AI and it will tell you that where it comes to the Bible, for example, we just did that. I was checking that. And, of course, maybe there's more than one opinion of that on the AI, but the AI said that a Nimrod was a fictional character. Well, no. Whenever it comes to that, God's Word, the Bible, is the premier, the most accurate source of information, and nothing can change that. And so here, also, I remember, but this goes back to some of the apostate, the liberation theology, and that when they were talking about that the book of Daniel, they tried to say was fictional too, okay? And so if those on the left would have been programming these computers, you would have had disinformation programmed into it, wouldn't you?
Well, so that's a really valid point, and that's where you get the only difference, really, between AI modules. Whereas, like, I know Google has one now. ChatGPT is the big one. There's a couple of Grok, like we said. There's a couple other different, like, big AI modules that you can talk to. And what it's doing, it's not so much, you know, maybe 2 years ago we were at a point where company, you know, Google, for example, is making a ChatGPT or an AI module, and here's all the information we want you to have. That's not what's happening so much anymore, is here's all the information that is accessible. So when you get something like that where it's, you know, you ask if Nimrod's a real person, it comes back and says, no, it's a fictional person. It's not so much who programmed the AI to find that. It's the sources the AI is using, which 100% could go back to the programmer, but it's, I guess what you have to look at is how reliable is the AI source you're using nowadays, which is a crazy sentence to say because you shouldn't be putting that kind of faith in any of them. But it's, Google is going to have a higher tendency to have things that are higher hits on Google. So if for some reason, you know, articles that go against the Bible are more prominently viewed on Google, that's probably what it's going to pull from.
All right. Like, I know that clip that you have that we sent you there, talking about that, how do I know how legitimate that is? That's that chat, right, thing. I mean, it might very well be, but then, you know, like you said, we, you know, we can put 100% trust in God's word, the Bible.
Right, and I think that's the, I think that's the big thing to take away from it too. Is there's a lot of people that think AI is evil, and it's certainly not good, but I wouldn't call it an evil. There's uses for it. It's not the AI we, you know, think of when we say AI today, but AI has been used for 2+ decades already in different organizations and mechanics to for air travel, for instance. AI has been used for 20+ years already, not how you and I perceive it when we say AI, but it has been used. But exactly what you said, it's how much trust should you put into it, and I think that's the thing that we need to focus on when we talk about this, to have this discussion, is can I go to AI and say, hey, you know, what's the cheapest place to get brake pads for my truck? Absolutely. Great use of AI. But if I say, hey, I think I might be having a heart attack, what should I do? Probably not the best use of AI. Probably go to the hospital.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing that you just brought.
One of the things, Pastor, with this is that we have to watch how the subtle, how they're doing this. In a subtle way, how and I like to say, not just say AI, I like to really say artificial, so that I can remember, because we know that Satan he mimics God. This is an artificial intelligence. Satan hasn't changed his tactic. Going all the way back to the garden, the first thing that he appealed to mankind or to woman through was, hey, if you eat of this tree, he knows that you shall be like the gods. It's that chase for knowledge. And Solomon, of course, the wisest man that ever lived, of course, he said, let's hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Hear God and keep his commandments. And so we have to stay on track. We know that the word of God, we can stand on that. But the danger is in getting sucked into getting the information from AI now, and it tells you in that video how, yeah, right now, some of that information that we get, it seems to be okay, and in many cases that it is, but it's given us the warning. I think that's why we probably should just play the clip, but it's given us the warning on what's going to happen.
Well, here's the a very dangerous part of that. I've already seen where they've got AI pastors preaching AI messages, and some of these liberal churches have said, okay, you know, they can preach, AI can preach better than we can, and they're allowing AI to you know, to preach the sermons in these churches.
Yeah, I had a class with a young lady, and they gave us an assignment. The instructor gave us an assignment, and, you know, she came back and she said, hey, I just fed in to AI certain things, and it gave me back, you know, the presentation that she brought to the class. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, that wasn't the purpose for the assignment that was given. That didn't help you. By giving that to AI, I just kept the thought to myself, but I was just thinking. But yeah, that's where this artificial intelligence, where a lot of people they're really relying on it in that kind of way, and it kind of dumbs us down as it tells us in there. I mean, I can remember a time when I could remember multiple phone numbers, but through technology now your phone holds all of them, so it's. You know, I may know 3 or 4 phone numbers out of all of the numbers that I have in my phone because now I just, you know, you just rely on technology to do it all.
Yeah, that's true. And one of the other things, like, you know, especially when it comes to math, you know, we were taught, mm-hmm. you know, how to add, subtract, to multiply and divide. But now... these kids are allowed to have their little computers with them in the classrooms that they can do it on, instead of doing it in their head, being taught how to add and multiply and divide.
Yeah.
And that is
yeah.
not good. Not only that, but I can tell you, these young people today cannot read a map. Some of them have never seen one. Some of them have actually never seen a map. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, when we used to travel, you know, I remember, especially my wife and I would be doing the driving, and she would be the co-pilot there, mapping out, giving me the directions.
I had a AAA passenger. When I was going a trip, I'd always get the AAA. It was called Trip Six, I believe it was, but they would have the particular map for wherever you were going. They would highlight the route or the best route, but, you know, still it gave way to knowing how to actually read a map, because I tell you, things got shut down. There'd be a lot of parked cars because people wouldn't know where to go.
Absolutely. They don't know how, and they don't have, I mean, I believe, carry a map in my car. I think I still have one in there. I haven't seen it in a long time, but.
Well, I mean, you got people that can't even read a clock now.
It's and you know, these young people can't read cursive writing. They can't read cursive, and so it's an amazing thing. But you're right about that. I've noticed that myself when it comes to remembering phone numbers. I used to have a whole lot of phone numbers that I would have to remember. Okay. And you're right. We've got them all fixed in there. So now all you have to do is hit the number, and that's what they call that progress.
That's the scary thing, or the thing we have to worry about, because, you know, in that clip it talks about not only the various translations, but as people stop studying the word. You know, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." But if you're just relying on, hey, let me try to pull up the scripture from ChatGPT. You know, if they hit the switch, and when they do hit that switch, you know, you're not gonna have the truth. You know, the Bible tells you, I believe it's Proverbs, it tells you to buy the truth and sell it not. We really want to. Have the Word of God in our spirit, you know, not just on a computer system.
Absolutely. All righty, we got a bunch of stories here. I want to go through here. First of all, a couple. There's on PMSNBC. There's a woman who just had another meltdown, and.
Uh-oh.
Her name's Wretched Madcow. Actually, it's not. Her real name is Rachel Maddow, okay? But I kind of changed it to Wretched Madcow because she says some not-so-nice things about a lot of people. If it's a politically correct woke sin, Rachel embraces it. But she is saying now today, she said that Trump has been wanting to feed illegal aliens to alligators down there in that prison of the swamp. I mean, they don't quit. I mean, with this, and a couple of things here. This Mark Warner. He has come out and he's made a false claim about Tulsi Gabbard. He says that Tulsi is a threat to national security because Tulsi, is exposing the deep state. And Tulsi came out and she said what we knew that they were going to do because they really tried to keep anything from coming out. This is why they started this Trump and Epstein's Island, Trump and Epstein thing, to keep people's attention off of the Russia hoax. And now hear that these people are going to be brought in, just like, finally, we may see some justice, because you've always had, you know, you've had these these Democrats going after Christians and conservatives. And look how many of Trump's cabinet got locked up, right? And then,
yeah.
And then here, while Trump is saying, okay, I'm not going to go after Hillary, while he's doing that, Hillary is conspiring with Obama and involved in that conspiracy. You know, where all of those people that we had mentioned earlier, and of course we left a couple out, but you had involved in that. And remember Sessions. Remember Sessions was Trump's first attorney general? Why did he quit? So he quit very quickly. Why did he do that? Well, it's that he was being blackmailed. He was being blackmailed.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Epstein, or well, you had rather Merrick Garland, James Comey, William Barr, Holder, Mueller, and Sessions was the first one. He was, again, like I said, the very, and, you know, he started out, he was, you know, conservative. I thought, we finally got a real attorney general. Well, that sure didn't last very long. And so, anyhow, because they're bringing these people in, starting with Bill and Hillary, Warner, I wouldn't, you know, doubt that Warner has got some good reasons for not wanting it all to come out, especially, you know, the hoax. But on that list, too, I understand that in that meeting that they had, where all of this stuff went down, that John Kerry was there also. But I've noticed somehow his name hasn't come in. How do you think he's getting away, or he's getting out of that? Okay. But here you go. President Barack Obama, former aides, reportedly hoped to conceal rapidly unfolding revelations about the conspiracy between Obama and his top intelligence chiefs to pin President Donald Trump, Russia, 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 to the wider American public, according to the NBC report. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has declassified documents in recent days revealing the spun or manufactured intelligence undergirding the 2017 intelligence community assessment, directed directly by Barack Obama and executed by his top intelligence officials, Central Intelligence Agency Director John Brennan, Federal Bureau of Investigation James Comey, and Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, concluding the Russian, and now here, they have in that meeting, they have Brennan saying that now there's no evidence at all that ties Trump. In that meeting, they have that, and you have Obama saying, well, create some evidence, make some evidence. And so everything they did was illegal. But now they've actually gone back and they've recovered phone conversations. They actually have phone conversations with Obama and Hillary. And so now remember what Hillary said? She said, if Trump gets reelected, we're all gonna hang. This is why it was so important that Biden had to win that election, you know, one way or the other, because Hillary said, why would Hillary say we're all gonna hang? Because she knew that they were all guilty of treason, huh?
Right.
The ICA touched off years of Russiagate media frenzy in part of elevating the outlandish claims in this Steele dossier, an opposition research file funded by rival Hillary Clinton. Here's the interesting thing. This Steele, this so-called agent, they know that he was really just somebody for hire, for sale. In other words, you know, he would tell any lie that you wanted him to tell if you paid him. And here, he'd already been fired a couple times for not coming up with enough good lies, I guess. And so, Gabbard said that she had made a criminal referral to the Department of Justice related to the domestic intelligence operation against then-president-elect, which she described as a year-long coup and treasonous conspiracy against the American public. Well, now that has gone to the grand jury, and we're going to see people really expect, I mean, we really expect to get some justice, finally. We've been waiting a long, long time, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, we've seen all of the, all of our people go down, and none of them. Okay. There was a couple other things really quick. Yeah. We talked about this last night. You know how the Democrats now, all of these, I mean, they're out there, these, boy, I'm going to tell you, these people, just loud mouth profanity and that. Remember they told us the reason they were using all that profanity is they wanted us to know how angry they were, okay? Like, we really care, right? And then, the reason they went out in the woods and were screamed at the trees wasn't to scare the trees. That was supposed to scare us. Like, we really care, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, yesterday, we saw that they were taking ball bats, and just to show us how angry they are, and they were beating watermelons. They were beating up, breaking of watermelons with baseball bats. And as they would hit the watermelon, they would yell out Trump, or they'd yell out Republican, or conservative, or Christian. In other words, they wanted us to know that in their mind, they were beating us with the ball, that we were the watermelons. Do you remember that that Little Rascals movie from years ago when Stymie said, what's the name? I wish Stymie was a watermelon. I wish Stymie was a watermelon. Reminds me of that. But anyhow. And so now they've come up, and today they came out, and they want us to know that this is going to be an all-out war. They're not going to hold anything back. It's an all-out war between the Democratic Party and decent people. So decent people out there, the Democrats have declared war against you. And I don't know. Are you scared?
I'm not scared.
Are you, Style, are you scared?
Shaking in my boots.
Well, you see the Democrats have been successful. Okay, so anyhow, that's some of what
I got. Another article on one of the those team members attacked, and President Trump is talking about federalizing D.C. following the assault. Let me read that real quick.
Yeah, that's a good one. Don't mention what they call him. They did that on Fox News, and that was in very poor taste.
Yeah. Doe's team member beaten bloody by mob of team Trump calls to federalize D.C. following his assault. And it says, President Donald Trump condemned attacks against innocent Americans carried out by lawless team thugs with virtual impunity in the District of Columbia, as Elon Musk revealed a man recently assaulted was a Doe's team member. And then it says, Trump on Tuesday issued a Truth Social statement calling on children as young as 14 years old to be prosecuted as adults in D.C., arguing lawless bands of youths attacking innocent Americans are emboldened by Democrats' soft on crime policy. Crime in Washington, D.C. is totally out of control. Local youth and gang members, some only 14, 15, and 16 years old, are randomly attacking, mugging, maiming, and shooting innocent citizens at the same time knowing that they will be almost immediately released. They are not afraid of law enforcement because they know nothing ever happens to them, but it's going to happen now. The law in D.C. must be changed to prosecute these minors as adults and lock them up for a long time, starting at age 14. The most recent victim was beaten mercilessly by local thugs. Washington, D.C. must be safe, clean, and beautiful for all Americans, and importantly, for the world to see. If D.C. doesn't get its act together and quickly, we will have no choice but to take federal control of the city and run this city how it should be run and put criminals on notice that they're not going to get away with it anymore. Perhaps it should have been done a long time ago. Then this incredible young man and so many others would not have had to go through the horrors of violent crime. If this continues, I'm going to exert my powers to federalize this city, make America great again.
Good for him. Absolutely. You know, good for him. And, yeah. and here, I had an article. I wanted to find that article that I just had here a minute ago. I wanted to. And it was the young woman who was beaten by the mob of Democrats in Cincinnati. And here, the article was, a number of people are coming forward and helping her raising the fund for her. And, oh, here you go. It's an article by, "We're All Rooting for You." Hollywood star pitches in to help Holly, the white victim of a ferocious Cincinnati Democrat mob attack. And that is Charlie Sheen. Hollywood actor Charlie Sheen is among those donating to the recovery of Holly, the white woman who was knocked unconscious. Boy, I tell you, her face, they really beat her bad. They stomped on her face by a verbal mob of Democrats in Cincinnati on July 26th. Anyhow, that really, see, that's a good example of what they're talking about. Now, they're going after these people. I hope they get every single one of them. See, in the past, they have been used to not being prosecuted. The prosecutors wouldn't prosecute them, okay? But now, there's a cry from the people, no, that's over with. We want some justice for a change. And so people aren't tolerating this anymore. And these prosecutors like Bragg there in New York and them, we want to see those people, you know, because Bragg is responsible by turning those killers loose there in New York. He's responsible, as far as I'm concerned, he's responsible for letting that one of his illegal aliens set that woman on fire and everybody standing there watching her burn to death on the subway. As far as I'm concerned, Bragg's responsible for that. For every one of those killers that he turned loose, for those that attacked the police and were beating the police, because why? They got arrested, they were out of jail the same day, but turned back on the street because of Bragg. Bragg's a guy, he needs to, and he is bought and paid for and owned by George Soros. And so, there you go. We're coming up to a break. And you know what we should do? You want to take some phone calls? Let's take some calls. We're going to go to a break, and then the phone lines will be open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll be back right after this.
Someday yonder, we will never more wander. contented, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. Discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the
All right, listen, I'm looking forward to that mansion. I am looking forward to that. Hey, Debbie, we have Debbie.
Amen to that one.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, two things. This whole thing with Russiagate, I sure hope that some reputable studio like Angel Studios, they have such a wonderful script here. It's all laid out there, but they need to, you know, like just go step by step and make it really clear to us average folks how this whole thing unveiled itself, what Pam Bondi is finding out and, you know, Tulsi Gabbard and what they're all finding out. And it's just it's a horrible script, but it's a terrible, I mean, it's a wonderful script for a movie. And it's one of these thinker things. I said that to my husband last night. I said, we're watching the news, and I said, this is like a thinker movie, and the next thing you know, they're unveiling something else that they did. And I don't remember what it was last night that they said, but I'm like, oh, my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. That's why they did this? And it wasn't even to defraud the American public. It was something else that they said. But anyway, that was one thing. The other thing is, you know, greater is he who is in us than he's in the stinking world. And God is able to do greater things than we can even think, say, or imagine. And I don't, well, I guess maybe I do. I was going to say I don't really wish ill will to any of these evil monsters that have been involved in everything. But wouldn't it just be so great of God's justice to strike them with something to make them not able to, they would be rendered harmless. I mean, if they had a stroke or a heart attack or something,
well,
they couldn't blame Trump. They couldn't say the justice system was going after them. It would be a God thing going after them.
In
so
a sense,
that's the way I'm praying.
Yeah. In a sense, they have, you know, that is happening. If you look at these people, it's like, say, for Adam Schiff, he's a miserable guy. I mean,
yeah, but he's not getting punished for what
he's done. He's right now, he's under investigation, for mortgage fraud. Remember what the very same thing they charged Trump with?
Yeah, I know.
Him and Letitia James, the same thing. She is, too, so. But you know, think about this. Look, for example, Hillary. Hillary lost to Trump. Okay, she thought she had that in the bag. Remember the glass ceiling? She was going to break the glass ceiling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then here, when it came down, and when old Joe, when they retired old Joe, put him out to pasture and put Kamala in there, they wanted Hillary's support. What did Hillary? Hillary said that she should have been the first woman president, that she deserved it. Hillary said she deserved to be the first woman president, okay? Hillary deserves a lot of things, okay? And God is just, and she's going to get what she's got coming, I can tell you, okay?
But it sure would be great to see it on this side of heaven.
But can you imagine how frustrated she is? How every day that she's lost, you know, lost the presidential election twice, hasn't become the first woman president that she deserved to be. And
yeah.
And then
I cry for her every night.
Yeah. Let's see.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth.
Well, think about this, how frustrated these people are, right? They go out in the woods and they scream at the trees. Last night I was watching, they were interviewing these young Democratic women, and they were angry. And they can't find
good guys.
Right, they can't find any liberal men, okay? The men don't want, who would want a part of a liberal woman, right? They don't want a part of a liberal, you can't trust them at all. Okay?
Yeah.
And out
I've got
there,
one in my family, and she was dating a guy, and he was completely opposite of her, and he asked me my opinion, and I said, you're never going to change her, so you might as well break up with her.
But again, these are very frustrated people. They're very, very frustrated people.
Yeah.
I mean, good example.
And they're frustrating to us.
Yeah, well, Tampon Tim would be a good example of one. That this guy is absolutely miserable. They really have a hard time living with themselves.
I wonder what's going to happen with this. I call him Mad Manny, not the Mon Manny. What was the guy's name in New York? I just call him Mad Manny.
Yeah,
because he's a madman, and if they can vote somebody like that in, I can't even fathom it. I just really cannot fathom it.
You will see an exodus out of New York like you wouldn't believe.
But you know what? They won't care. They'll get their Muslim state there. That's what they're after. They're after to, what do they call those? There's a term for the Muslims when they have some kind of a holy, it's not a holy war.
Jihad.
Jihad.
It's not the jihad. It's something that when they set up an area that they completely take over.
Oh, I know what you're saying there.
I
can't think
moment.
Of it either. But anyhow, well, they've done that. In fact, they're working on doing that in Texas. They've done that in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They've done that in Detroit, Michigan.
They want to do it in New York.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've been working on that for a long time.
Yeah.
So,
well,
all righty. I got to move on. But listen, thanks, Debbie. God bless. Let's go to Jack out there in San Diego.
Pastor Ernie, did you hear that Trump wants to build a nuclear reactor on the moon?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. And
listen, I live next to a nuclear reactor. It's called San Onofre. It's on the beach. It's right between Orange County and San Diego County. And they had to shut it down a few years ago because it was leaking radiation. Now, here's the problem with these reactors. It produces dirty radiation as waste, and it stays radioactive for hundreds of years. Nobody wants the waste, so they put it in canisters and buried it in the sand. And that's true with all 112 nuclear reactor sites in the United States, that all the waste is kept on site because nobody wants it. There's no place to put it. Why would we want to transport that problem to the moon? I don't even know what you would do with a nuclear reactor on the moon, but it begs an even greater question, and I wonder if you guys tackled it. Who owns the moon?
Well,
because you know what's coming next.
We would.
China's going to want to put missiles on the moon. Russia's going to want to probably put more missiles on the moon. And then you've got, what, the potential for another war? I mean, just the idea of a nuclear reactor on the moon is ridiculous. There's no place to put the waste. Now, you want to contaminate the moon? Have some kind of an incident? Like a Three Mile Island on the moon? And now we got a contaminated moon. It's just a bad idea, but I don't even want to hear about it till you tell me where we're going to put the waste.
Well, first of all, like we discussed that. How are you going to, first of all, you have to have water to these reactors to even generate the waste to begin with. So,
well, that's an excellent point.
There's not a lot of water there. Not a lot of water there in the moon.
How about my question, Pastor Ernie? Who owns the moon?
Well, whoever puts their flag in the ground first, okay? And, of course, there's been a lot of flags on the moon already out there. And whoever sets up the camp, you know, that's the way it usually works here. But I don't think that is very practical, a very practical thing to – I think Trump might be having another reason for making such a statement. I don't know what it would be, but –
okay, well, here's just keeping Trump honest through Pastor Ernie's great show. Thank you, Pastor Ernie.
All right, thanks, Jack. There you go. Yeah. You know, one of the things we've been hearing a lot about lately is something called methylene blue. Methylene blue, the secret weapon for fighting Alzheimer's and keeping your brain young. And so, have you thought about keeping your brain young there, Randy?
Yes, sir. I have been taking some of the methylene blue.
Have you?
Yeah.
Where do you get it?
I had ordered it originally from Amazon, but I was going to try to go on the InfoWars once I got through with this bottle and actually try to order it through them and see if there's a little bit different.
Okay, I'm going to have to look into this a little more. I've been hearing from some friends of mine, and I guess this has been around for a little while, and some of the people that I consider to be knowledgeable and trustworthy are promoting this. Okay, who do we have?
We have Melanie in Ohio.
Let's go back to Ohio with Melanie. Hey, Melanie, you're in the air.
Hello, how are you, Pastor Ernie?
I'm doing okay, and you?
Fine, thank you. I just have a quick comment about the story where the Denmark Zoo was soliciting unwanted pets for feeding to their zoo animals.
Yeah.
Interesting thought. In one of the articles I read, they mentioned that the animals would, quote, lovingly be euthanized or be lovingly euthanized. And that was where they dropped it, you know, prior to being fed. What I find interesting, I've been very active in animal welfare and so forth for many, many decades. And euthanized animals are actually a great danger to scavengers, predators, and so forth. You know, those who are finding them, who maybe have not been who have been improperly buried, not deep enough, something like that. Because usually it's phenobarbital that is used for euthanasia is still in the body, and that then can present a toxin to the critter who's eating the deceased animals. So I was just kind of curious because they didn't mention, you know, I wondered if it was just a politically correct thing to say we're going to lovingly euthanize them before we feed them to our animals. But nobody mentioned the flip side unless they have some other method of euthanizing, you know, that doesn't include these toxic drugs.
You know, I mean, it wasn't a very smart thing for them to say. You know, people become very attached to their pets.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And
yes, indeed.
And here, you know, people that would do things like that, I don't trust those kind of people at all, okay?
Well, they shouldn't have in the first place. But I just found it an interesting gap in the story that they would state that. You know, are they really thinking many people don't have any concept of what euthanasia drugs are? They kill. That's why they're used. And that the individual animal eating it is going to ingest that.
Yeah, I know. I got to move on, but listen, thanks for sharing that with me. I'm going to take one last call before we have an invitation. Who do we have next?
One last call. We better make it a good one. We have Cliff.
Oh, Clifford got in behind the wire. Okay, Clifford.
Yeah, there's not much time. I would recommend a book. Basically, it's a novel by James Patterson, The Zoo. Crazy book, but it's worth it. You know, kind of part of it's set in Africa. Definitely relates to zoos. But a quick question would be Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. It's using the word new in that verse in the King James Version. I find that interesting, just that the placement of that word new.
Hebrews, you say
10:20, I think it
10,
is.
10:20, okay. Let me... By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Okay, well, what he's referring to, of course, that was relating the flesh of the temple, okay, and that Jesus Christ himself. Let me go back to verse 19 because it makes a lot more sense. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So he's referring to that the veil of the temple was rent, and just like in his flesh was a symbol of that, that we no longer had to bring a sacrifice and have a priest offer this up, that we could go directly. Now, we have become a nation of priests. The office of the priest had actually ended at that time. And so here, because of what Christ had done for us, we can again come boldly, not arrogantly or presumptuously, is what some people think, but into God's presence. We can do it in prayer. We can do it in confidence. We can do it in witnessing to people. And so that's what he's referring to. When it says the holiest of holiest, in the ancient tabernacle, only the high priest was allowed to enter. In the holies of holies, to commune with God. But now we are a nation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and we can go directly to the Father. And Jesus Christ is our high priest interceding for us. And we're out of time, so
okay,
Randy, do it, man.
All right. Amen. Listen, if you are listening to this radio station and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but yet you listen to this station, you agree with many of the things in politics, but you haven't done what is necessary to make sure that you have that blessed assurance that Jesus is yours, or that you are reconciled to the Father. You're playing a very dangerous, I don't even want to call it a game, but it's a very dangerous thing life and death is on the line here. And I want to share something with you real quick from Matthew 24. Jesus' disciples, they came to him. They wanted to show him all of the buildings of the temple in Matthew 24. And Jesus looked at them, and he actually began to tell them. He said, see all of these things that you see here? He said, verily I say unto you, there shall not be here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so the disciples, they came in privately, and they wanted to know, hey, what does that mean? You know, tell us, you know, when these things shall be and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. And verse 4, Jesus looked at him, and he told him this. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And that word he means to behold or beware. From the Greek definition, it means to behold or beware. And then deceive means to cause you to roam from safety or truth. And so, again, let me read that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed or beware that no man deceive you, causes you to move away from truth and deceive you. For many, it says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And so when we look at that and we look at everything that's going on right now, I really wish we were able to play that clip, but hopefully in the future. But it was talking about the what we call AI clip or artificial intelligence, and how dangerous this thing is going to become, and actually is already, because people are beginning to go to that as it as their source.
Well, God, 1 minute. One minute. You got 1 minute. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He wants us to come to him. So I would ask you, as Jesus is asking, the Bible says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you call on him and ask him to come into your heart, God can save you this very night. You can have that assurance that you'd be with him for eternity. Go ahead, Pastor.
Absolutely, you know, everything you just said, right? And that's one of the absolutes. And like Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will stand forever. And so, folks, when you hear a preacher give that invitation, the Lord is speaking to you, and he's telling you, you know, this may be the last chance you get. So if you have not received Christ as your Savior, don't put it off. You're running out of time.
Right.
And we're out of time for tonight, so we want to say, as we always do, thanks for being here, and
yes.
And we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, 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 always ready?
Always.
Keep fighting the fight. Fight. Fight.
Fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.